sentence, what stuck out to me was his just absolute distaste for what he saw from the defensive line and the lack of effort on that forced fumble specifically from Fred Warner. Good morning, Bonte.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. And yeah, we could start there. I'm a little surprised we're starting there, but the defensive line, and this is what we talked about last week. When you have a Nick Bosa, who, whether you think he's a top five defensive end or pass rusher or whatever it is, you have to game plan for him. And the fact that Jacksonville did not have to game plan for him. And all of a sudden, there's more attention on Bryce Huff. There's more attention on Mykal Williams. There's more attention on Sam Okwuanu and Alfred Collins, whoever else is rushing the passer, not to get a quarterback hit or a sniff on Trevor Lawrence and give up the run game. And that was one of the biggest worries for me going into the game was Travis Etienne entered the game averaging 5.9 yards a carry. Mm. Not a lot of people are talking about Travis Etienne. He's having a resurgence. And so to be able to run the ball and be balanced and then not allow your quarterback to get touched, it's a very underrated offensive line in Jacksonville. All the metrics and everything say they're a top five offensive line. So, yeah, reinforcements are going to need to come, as Baldy said.
But they lost their right tackle in the middle of that game and were playing a backup. Like, I hear you, but it was just bad. I mean, and then they missed a lot of tackles, it felt like, overall. I thought there were some poor angles on me on the big touchdown play. Like, Pinnock's got to get a body on him. Like, he's got to get a body on him.
On the Travis Etienne touchdown line? Well, I also thought D. Winters ran to the wrong hole. Mm-hmm. I thought he shot the wrong gap. And you could see it at the end where the camera pans to him. He knew that he shot the wrong gap. Now, on the same time, on that play, Mykal Williams has got to do a better job of funneling Travis Etienne inside. Travis Etienne was able to get outside and break containment, and D. Winters shoots the wrong gap. And then you get old Travis Etienne's in the end zone doing a dance. So, look, their offensive line, yeah, I know the backup was in there for a little bit, but you look at the pass rushers, who do you fear on this defensive line right now?
Now
you have Matthew Stafford on the Thursday night. You want to give him a lot of time? He's lighting up right now. So, it's problems right now for the defensive line. They need reinforcements in a hurry.
Well, and, like, if Renardo Green's not going to play in this game, you know, they got two receivers. I mean, Puka's very difficult to stop, obviously. And then you got Devontae, and you're asking yourself, like, all right, well, how are you going to utilize the one player who is healthy in that secondary who's playing pretty good is D'Amador Lenore? You know, are you going to have him shadow one of these guys? He doesn't really do that a whole lot. So, like, I don't know, man. I think this is a tough one.
Yeah, you know, before we go all doom and gloom, because I'm sure I already knew once the game was over, I've been in this business for a while.
What doom and gloom? That's fine.
No. But we know the temperature around here. Come on.
Well, there's a lot of injuries.
I was listening. Yeah, exactly.
It is true.
Told Baldy he's got anxiety. So nobody knows.
Bosa's out for the year.
Listen,
Kittle
I get it.
Kittle's currently out. Purdy is dealing with, obviously, a foot injury. Your two starting wide receivers that aren't Ayuk, Jennings and Pearsall, are both up in the air right now. Like, I think this is a pretty healthy fear of the reality of the situation.
That's fine.
They have 12 people on the hypothetical injury report.
Look,
oh my God.
Look, man, you look at these first nine games, and this is something that when you have a lot of new players and you have these injuries coming into the season, I want it 5-4 after nine games. Because six of the first nine are on the road again. And this whole easy schedule talk, schedule's easy. Well, how does the back-to-back on the road look in Houston and New York? It doesn't look easy. There's no easy games in the NFL. And so they're 3-1, and I'm sure they could be 1-3. You could say that about Dallas. You could say that about Green Bay. You could say that about a number of teams in this league. I get it. They're 3-1, and reinforcements will come. It's just how quickly will they come? Mm. So even if you lose this game against the LA Rams, you're 3-2. You get a nice little extended bye week. They move the time up to Tampa Bay, so now you're playing a 1:25 kickoff instead of a 10 a.m. kickoff. And by that time, you should have Kittle back.
Well, you don't know. We haven't heard of him anything.
I'm saying you should have him back. Have him back. So I'm not going to freak out quite yet because we got a long way to go. Long way to go. A lot of teams are going to get beat up, but I get it. The injuries are kind of just, wow, Pearsall's hurt. Juwan Jennings got a rib issue now after getting cracked in the end zone. Purdy, your franchise quarterback's got a toe issue, and he uses his mobility, which helped him get back in that game against Jacksonville. And then, of course, the Bosa injury. You can't account for that.
I don't think there's a way to make that up.
You got to somehow generate a pass rush, whether you're blitzing or whatnot. But I do have faith in John Lynch and saying, I'm not going to stand by this. I'm not just going to watch this thing over and over and over where you don't get a quarterback hit. So I think they will trade for somebody. And should they trade for somebody? Why not? Because they can take on any contract. At this point, it's going to be prorated anyway.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people want Trey Hendrickson. Look, Cincinnati and Mike Brown, do your research on Mike Brown.
They don't trade.
They will wait until the last minute. Think about Raider fans and how they got stuck up for Carson Palmer. They waited until the last second to trade Carson Palmer.
New Jack City.
So look, I don't know if Trey Hendrickson is going to be available for this team, but could there be other players? I don't know. But look, they're 3-1 right now, and they just got to get healthy. That's the biggest thing.
Well, and the biggest thing right now, speaking of health, is the quarterback. And you mentioned him, Brock Purdy. What did you see, Bonte, from Brock? And first, before we even actually get to that, did you think he should have started this game?
Well, Mac Jones was beat up. Mac Jones couldn't move.
Jones would have been a full participant according to this hypothetical injury report yesterday.
But he's got a PCL injury.
Going into last week.
Yeah, sure.
He was limping off the field against Arizona after he scored 16 points.
He was limited.
Right?
Yeah.
He was limping. He couldn't even get a handoff to Christian McCaffrey. Remember that?
I do.
He fell over. He couldn't move. So if he's banged up and Purdy's 75-80%, do you want to go Adrian Martinez? That's what we're looking at here.
No,
you want to go Adrian Martinez?
I would have rather gone, if both of my quarterbacks are banged up, I'd rather go with the guy not making $100+ million.
Mac Jones would have got killed in that football game.
I disagree.
He would have got killed in that football game.
I completely disagree.
He can't move.
I do think there's a...
Purdy couldn't move most of that game.
When they got back in the game down 26-14, Purdy started playing street football, moving around the pocket, running around and whatnot. His mobility may have been limited, but it's a lot better than Max. Behind that offensive line,
yes.
Mac Jones would have got destroyed against that football team in Jacksonville.
Disagree. I think his arm talent would have been far superior than what I saw from Brock Purdy on Sunday.
They would have been hunting Mac Jones in that pocket. That pocket was not clean on Sunday.
Are you worried about Brock Purdy? I mean, clearly the foot is a thing he's dealing with, and it's not going to get healthier if he continues to keep playing. And I know they got a 10-game stretch. If they can, whatever happens Thursday, you got about 10 days until Tampa Bay. It's worrisome, like the Purdy foot thing. I don't know how else you're going to get him without sitting him.
It's turf toe. And we know how turf toe deal. Deal with it. Deion Sanders deal with it. Turf toes.
Could end careers.
I don't know if it end career. I don't know if it. I've seen a lot of guys with turf toe come back and play. But it is a lingering injury. It's a lingering injury.
So what do you do? There's no doubt.
You got to tough it out. He's got to tough it out. Who gives you the better chance to win football games and go deep into the playoffs?
Well, when he's healthy, it's him. But I don't think I don't think he's healthy, and I think it is compromising some of his play.
Well, I thought a lot of it was rust.
Okay.
Selling, not right. playing. You didn't play until Seattle. And think about it. This is why you got to play preseason. I was off the preseason hype, but after listening to Jerry and listening to a lot of former players, I think they're right. You need to play in the preseason. Purdy not playing a lot of preseason. Then you get thrown into Seattle, and he had his ups and downs in Seattle. So
it was more good than bad.
It was more good than bad, but you could say it's rust. Then you miss two games. Then you come back against Jacksonville, who gets a very good defense. The defense is good. We're going to get to the coaches and everything. I respect what Jacksonville's doing. I think there's a lot of soft people involved with the 49ers who are kind of ripped, but we'll get there. I'll let you guys know about that. I think a lot of it was rust early on, and then he was just selling balls, and it's not good. It's not good. So was it health permitted? He admits that. Shanahan admitted yesterday to saying, hey, I got a call from Brock Purdy, said his toe was sore. Maybe that was after the game. Maybe they shot it up with Toradol and he was able to get through the game. But he was not good on Sunday. There's no sugarcoating it. He made bad throws, and he sailed a lot of balls. And when I was watching him, especially in the third quarter, I said, is that Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, it was car accidents in the middle of the field, left and right. So, it sucked, but you need him. This is your guy.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
I think where Joe's going is like some guys can play through certain injuries. This particular one, for the way that he plays football, really changes who he is. And I think it's a tough one. I don't think it's – you play him if he could play it. I think you got to also think like long-term about this. Like, is there any chance he can get fully healthy for the remainder of this season?
If that's out
the window, then you probably are paying him no matter what. But if there's a glimmer of hope that, hey, he sits a month and maybe he's closer to 95% a month from now, then I think it's something you have to consider.
I don't know. I don't know if he's going to ever be healthy. Who's 100% healthy in football at this point?
No, I know, but Bonte, like, if you're not a pocket quarterback. Right. Like, he needs to move around a little, and in the pocket, he didn't look comfortable.
Yeah, but I thought he moved around all right because that pass rush was coming. You heard Baldy, Trent Williams giving a lot of ground on that offensive line. That offensive line did not play well on Sunday. I don't care what PFF says.
Well, I'm with you on that.
Like, I will watch it back three times now. I don't think that offensive line performed well at all. And I thought Jacksonville was hunting. Josh Hyde-Allen was hunting. They got some dudes on that defense. So I thought at times he moved around. The problem with Purdy, and he's been doing this over the last, ever since last year when he didn't have McCaffrey, and he didn't have Ayuk, and he didn't have Deebo, and all those guys not playing, he's trying to hit the home run too much.
Yeah.
Even on the McCaffrey play, where I thought he threw the ball high and McCaffrey tipped, he had a guy underneath. Just take your checkdowns and move to six early in the game. First drive of the game, he had Brayden Willis in the back of the end zone open. He didn't trust him. I get it. He's Brayden Willis, right? It's not George Kittle. How can you trust him? But Purdy had him there, and he didn't pull the trigger because he didn't quite trust it. So he's got to take what the defense gives him, and he's trying to hit the home run too much.
Well, that's frustrating, too, because all offseason in training camp, Bonte, what was he saying he needs to be better at? It's taking what the defense gives him and playing within himself and not trying to do too much, which is what he was doing last year. But at the same time, when you have a bottom five running game, I kind of understand what he's trying to do because he knows that McCaffrey's not going to get anything on the ground. Brian Robinson's not going to get anything on the ground. Like, this is the worst San Francisco rushing attack under Kyle Shanahan I've ever seen.
No, it's not
that bad.
It's not good. I mean, it's not good. And you're throwing the ball 35, 40 times in one-score games. It's not how Shanahan wants to play. It's not how they want to operate as an offense. And so, yes, you're not running the football. But he's just trying to – Purdy's got to stop hitting a home run, and I get why he's doing it.
Yeah.
I can understand it. You don't have number 85 there. Pearsall gets banged up, and all of a sudden he's out of the game. Jennings is not 100%.
But
you're throwing to Kendrick Bourne, who dropped a dime. So that game could flip in so many different ways. So when you got a lot of moving parts offensively, and you're not getting consistent reps with the same guys over and over and over again. And oh, by the way, it was DeMarcus Robinson's first game. And I'm not trying to make excuses for Purdy. Purdy played. He was awful in that football game. I don't want to I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Purdy has got to be better as a franchise quarterback. He's got to be better. But I also understand the human element and said, boy, I don't have this guy. I don't have that guy. So maybe we're going to overcompensate and try to hit a grand slam here. And he's got to chill off these turnovers, man. That will cost you football games. It almost cost you Seattle, and it obviously cost you against Jacksonville.
Well, and I look at the Jacksonville quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. It's not like he was special. He wasn't wowing me. Talk about a guy. Every time I watch him, Bonte, we can have like a minute or two on this. I just come away underwhelmed every single time I watch Trevor Lawrence. Number one overall pick. He's got the size. And yeah, he was able to use that on that fourth and short when they got pushed from some of his teammates for that first down when they went for the sneak. But 21 to 31, 174, one touchdown. But the thing that he didn't do, he didn't turn the ball over. And that's what Brock did. And that was what cost him the game. And for the longest time, Trevor Lawrence, a guy that needs to probably play way more than himself, just like Brock, like, not the injuries, but the interceptions and the fumbles, like ad nauseum for Trevor in the past. He didn't do that this game. And that was ultimately what lost them.
Well, turnovers, bad cover skills. You give up 3 points before halftime on a kickoff coverage.
Bad angles.
That's terrible. The punt return touchdown, you give that up. Look, Trevor, I think Trevor's going to be all right this year. I like this Liam Cohen guy. And Brian Thomas Jr.'s got to play better. He's got to catch the football.
Stay in bounds.
Stay in bounds. So I think his receivers have got to be better. I'm really eager to see how to use Travis Hunter moving forward. Brent Strange is a good tight end, man. He's balling right now. Yeah. You have the running game right now with Travis Etienne. It's alleviating some of the pressure off of Trevor Lawrence. And then there is something. There is something to have a constant turnover at offensive coordinators, at head coaches. And obviously he had Doug Peterson. They go to the playoffs. He has a good year. And then they regress. They regress, and then you got a new coaching staff. So I'm going to give Trevor the benefit of the doubt. Sure, he didn't wow you with anything on Sunday, but he did what he had to do to get a damn victory, which is take care of the football, lead on that running game. And let's not – look, despite the Niners not hitting the quarterback and pressuring the quarterback, I thought the defense held up well for the Niners. They built but didn't break. It kept them in that football game because Fred was flying around everywhere trying to cause havoc. He almost forced a couple fumbles in that football game. But the hustle on defense, as Baldy pointed out, and his Baldy breakdown, not good enough. Your DBs at times missing tackles. Not good enough. Bad angles. But I think Trevor, they're going to be a little better. I wouldn't close the door on Trevor Lawrence quite yet.
Well, I don't think anyone's closing the door. It's just
AFC South is wide open. Too.
People called him the greatest prospect ever, and that was,
we debugged that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not
like John Elway didn't exist.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Andrew Luck. Like, but that's the new media. That's these young kids, which is why we spoke at NorCal Media Day to school these young high school journalists, because the Spadonis of the world are saying everything is the greatest thing ever.
Sound like someone else I know. The youth is bad.
No, the youth ain't bad. It's just everything's the greatest thing ever. Oh my God, he's the greatest prospect ever. No,
it's okay to say he is. Is considered one of the greatest. That's what we say, but you guys hear what you want to hear. You and Shasky say, no, he said this. This is what he said. Don't put words in our mouth.
One of the greatest is silly. All right? You had Andrew Luck come through and Michael Vick come through and Philip Rivers come through.
This is where I get frustrated. We got to stop that. It's okay to say multiple people are one of the greatest.